Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing just a powerful conversation with Danny Dotson. We're talking about the devastating effect of alcoholism in our country. And Danny's a guy, graduate of Bible College, and was doing really, really well in the ministry area. And God was using it a powerful way, supervised over 100 pastors at a mega church out in Arizona. And yet alcohol is just a ugly addiction. In fact, there's 6 deaths a day minimum in the United States because of alcohol. It's kind of the silent killer. And we've been talking about just how it kind of snuck up on Danny, just some things that happened. And yet he was trying to maintain great ministry, and yet it finally alcohol took its toll. But we've had 2 programs already. If you miss those, I want to encourage you to check out those 14-minute programs at our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. But yesterday's program, we winded up just talking about the devastating effect it has on his family. He shared about his wife, and they were separated for 19 months. His daughter still fighting, totally understandably, some anger issues. And you were starting to talk about the effect on your son. We had to end yesterday's program. Talk about the effect it's had on your son, Danny.
Yeah, Greg. Again, enjoyable to be with you today. And my son, he stood by me. He's been a great support through everything. And his words to me have been, "Dad, I'm angry with you, but you'll always be my pops, and I love you." But I've got a lot of repairing to do there. You think a year of sobriety that all of a sudden they're just going to welcome you home and everything's going to be fine. And it's not that way at all. It's hard work. And in many ways, the work's just beginning to make those amends, to build trust. You know, I completely emptied my trust account. If you look at it like a bank, I totally took all the savings I had as far as trust goes with my family, and I spent it. And now I'm slowly trying to rebuild relationships with them. I'm having to let them in their own time come to grips with what I've done and what I've caused. But God is working and God is doing things. And in fact, we as a family are going to be together tonight to celebrate kind of my birthday, my sobriety birthday. And I'm looking forward to that time with them tonight.
Well, you're a great follow on Facebook, and Danny Dotson lives out in Arizona, but, you know, you've got over 4,000 friends, which we all know they're, you know, not all friends, but, I mean, you just have such a great impact, and you had a great post sharing, you know, the celebration of the 1 year of the last day that you took a drink of alcohol. And on that post, you shared some of the things that you'd learned through your journey, and the one that was just so powerful, and you put this word in capital letters, you said, "Every person I meet has a fractured heart and is fighting a battle that we cannot see." And man, I know that going through 12-step recovery program, and you shared with me yesterday when we were talking that you see people from all walks of life at these 12-step programs, don't you? Because there's a lot of people walking around with a fractured heart, isn't there?
Everybody is, Greg. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's dealing with pain and hurt and heartache in one way, shape, or form. They just either wear a mask or they cover it in humor or sarcasm. And yeah, 12-step programs, I see it all. Attorneys, doctors, nurses, police, fire. We're all trying to deal with the pain and the heartache of our lives. And as I said to you before, that's my prayer every morning. God, every person I meet today has a fractured heart and is fighting a battle I can't see. Help me just to be your vessel, your funnel, your vehicle of encouragement and love to them today. You know, don't let me take the praise and glory for that, but let me be the instrument, whether it's through a facial expression, a smile, whether it's through a touch, a hug, a service, or whether it's simply sitting in the dirt with them, like Job's friends did with him. Let me do that today, because every person I meet is hurting and has a story that they're probably not sharing, or at least trying to hide and deal with in some way, and quite possibly in an unhealthy way.
Another thing that you had in your powerful post that you posted last week. You said, I did not grow in my relationship with God by trying to follow a checklist of rules and thou shalt nots. Elaborate a little bit on that.
Cole, I spent my life trying to measure up to my parents, measure up to what people expected of me, measure up to being what a pastor was expected to be, measure up to what the world wanted me to be, and certainly to measure up to being, quote-unquote, a good Christian. And, you know, the checklist is not just the Ten Commandments. It's all kinds of things. It's, you know, you've got to dress this way. You've got to listen to this music. You've got to respond this way. You can't say that. And I tried, Greg. I tried so hard to be that person, and I couldn't do it. And God showed up in the realest way to me, again, when I admitted I was failing, and I could not do it by myself. And he showed up through people that weren't dressed perfectly and sitting in a pew or a row of chairs staring at the back of another head. He showed up to me in the hearts and the lives of broken people sitting around in circles in recovery groups and 12-step programs who were saying, I'm a failure, and I don't know how God could love me, and God could never forgive me. And yet watching them love one another and forgive one another and not be shocked by being vulnerable and open and honest, I've seen how big God is and how big God's grace really is. And when you see that grace for real and watch it transform lives, watch somebody for the very first time go, maybe I could believe in a God like that. Maybe God doesn't hate me, and maybe I'm not his enemy. Maybe he does love me. And watch it transform their lives and bring about sobriety. You see God working, and you can't do anything, Greg, in that moment but worship him. And it has been in the circles of vulnerability, honest people who said, I don't have it together, that I've found God is right there in the middle of that, doing his best work.
Well, something else you put in your Facebook post on with Danny Dotson, who just celebrated a year of sobriety recently and just shared a powerful Facebook, Danny Dotson in Arizona. But you said, Jesus has given me only this command, love God, love others, and love my enemy. Filling my day trying to obey that leaves me with no place and no time to judge another.
Yeah. Yeah, Greg, you know, I had become judgmental in life. I didn't think I was. I didn't think as a pastor or a minister that I was judgmental, but I was. And, you know, I judged people as to whether they fit in the church setting that I was pastoring in. I judged people as to whether they were going to be able to help us on our journey of building another campus or forwarding our ministry. Well, I judged people based on what they'd be able to give or how they'd be able to serve. I judged people based on what they did and didn't do. And I didn't think I did, but I did. And every day of my life, Greg, I am one step away from being at rock bottom. I'm one choice, one decision, and so is every other human being. And Jesus never asked me to judge. He never gave me that command. In the new covenant, which took effect when he died on the cross and his blood was shed to seal that covenant, from that point on, here was Jesus' command: love God, love people, and love your enemy. That's the only three things I've got to spend the rest of my life doing as a follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, another great quote. I thought you had this Facebook post. You know, we all have our struggles, but people that don't struggle with alcohol can't necessarily understand people that are alcoholics. And you stated in your Facebook post, people who are not alcoholics can never truly understand this disease or the person who battles it. Only an alcoholic gets another alcoholic.
That's true. I I wouldn't have said that before, but I can say it with absolute assurity now. You know, even my wife, with everything she's been through and the help and support she's sought through other 12-step programs, she says, I don't understand, but I've learned to love you in spite of not understanding. But when I look and hear the story of another alcoholic, I go, that's me. When I read the story of another alcoholic, I go, that's me. That was where I was. That was how I thought. That was the insanity of this disease. And it is only when we're honest enough to say, this is how I felt, this is what I did, this is how low I went, that somebody else is sitting there and goes, wait a minute, that's me. Maybe there is hope for somebody like me.
All right, we've only got a couple minutes left, but I want to ask you, you know, these two questions that you can answer for us as we close out here and get about 2 minutes. Where are you in God relationally, and what would you say to those who are followers of Jesus about the topic of alcoholism?
Relationally, Greg, I've got a lot of growing to do, but I'm at the best place in my relationship with Jesus Christ I've ever been in my life. I love him. I roll out of bed in the morning and I hit my knees. I lay down, or just before I lay down at night, I get on my knees. Greg, 34 years as a pastor, I didn't hit my knees. But God deserves, Jesus Christ deserves for me to get on my knees and tell him in the morning, thank you that I'm sober and thank you for letting me have another day. And he deserves at the end of that day for me thanking him for not picking up a drink and all the blessings and the mercy and the grace he's given me. And if you're fighting the battle of alcoholism, even if you don't know, listen, an alcoholic knows another alcoholic. And it is only in talking to an alcoholic that you'll find somebody who goes, I get it and I understand. And there's help out there if you'll just reach for it and ask. And say, I can't do this alone.
Well, Danny, man, we've just been so blessed by these programs this week. And, man, I just want to thank you for surrendering and just saying, you know, God, I can't do this on my own. I know a lot of men that are listening and women that will just be inspired and encouraged by your story. And we've got about 45 seconds left. Could you close us in prayer, please?
I'd love to, Greg. God, thank you for our day. Thank you for loving us in spite of who we are and what we do. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who took upon himself our sin, our iniquity, our shame, and he nailed it to a cross so that once and for all it would be gone. And he washed us white as snow, and we stand before him as brothers and sisters in the family of God. We thank you for your love and mercy, God. Today, I just ask if one word of these programs can touch another heart, that you'll do it. They'll reach out for help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, what a powerful 3 days we've had. If you know somebody that's struggling with any type of addiction, but especially alcohol, I hope you'll go to our website, hopeishere.today, and share these programs and let them know that there's hope, no matter how far you are. Danny, at 58, surrendered his one and only life, this alcohol, listened to Jesus, and he's celebrating over a year of sobriety. So be blessed and share this with somebody else. For Danny Dotson, I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.